Bah, I'm a clone. We saw the sixth day, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discreate. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder how to discreate. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Shear, and today we are talking about the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, The Sixth Day, which came out November 17th, 2000. They used the numerical sixth in that because they felt that if they spelt out six, it would confuse people, thinking it was a sequel to The Sixth Sense. Okay, what do you need to know if you've not seen this movie? Very simple. Arnold Schwarzenegger runs a extreme sports company. I guess we'll get into it. And when he decides to take on a very wealthy man, things in his life start to go awry. And I'll leave it again at that because I don't want to talk about any of this movie without my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Not, you know, having just finished this movie, I didn't like it. I don't feel great. I feel like it's the summer of clones, question mark, between replicas and this. I'm sensing a theme.
I made this choice. Avril Haley, our amazing producer who picks all of our films, gave us a handful of choices for our next film. And I thought, why not go back into the tank.
It's like Clone Girl Summer.
Yes. Summer. Yes. Yes.
Look, we're cloning last week's episode, and this is our second cloned episode. And
wow. So are we willing to say that we are going to do clone-based movies all summer long?
There is one
clone
more.
Clone Girl Summer? CGS?
There is one more that I kind of want to put next, but I won't. I will take us out of the world of cloning.
You know what? I goddamn dare you. Put it next. Now, that's not to be confused with Crone Girl Summer, which is something that Jessica St. Clair is trying to get started, which I don't think anybody wants.
Well, and then not to be confused with Crone's Girl Summer, which is really something that is very uncomfortable for a lot of. Yeah, that's very
just
uncomfortable.
An awareness raising campaign for right. those of us who suffer from Crohn's disease.
Exactly.
It's funny you didn't like this movie, Jason. I'm actually surprised. Now it was
fine.
Too long.
It was a little boring. It was 2 hours and 4 minutes. It's not that I didn't like it. It just was long and a little boring. That's it.
Oh, I thought this is classic Schwartz.
I did too. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And it was interesting to me that he was playing this part because as I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, like if you told me Arnold, the person, the actor, was cloned, I would say, of course. You know, he has big clone energy.
BCE. He's got that BCE.
That's if you, the like,
he
does. Like,
he walks with
before
that
the
BCE.
Common era.
So there was something kind of right about him in this part.
I would believe if you told me the Arnold Schwarzenegger that we know
exactly
was a clone.
Right.
Like, I would believe. But, like, hasn't he kind of done some version of this before?
Oh,
not exactly,
no,
but
I don't think this is the one where he definitely plays two parts. I don't think there's another Schwarzenegger movie where he plays two parts.
The nice thing about that as an actor is it's like, oh, it's not like I have to play two wildly different characters.
Right.
I actually get to show up and play this other role.
Same role, different
which is
jacket.
Both the same role and also
mock turtleneck is the
big same
difference.
Person as myself. So I actually have to do zero acting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. He's not clumping it up.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He really is. He's playing two versions of the same exact character. The only difference is their outfits and a shaving scar, a shaving cut, which is then spoilers for the movie is proven to be faked.
I was very interested in that shaving cut because it was it definitely pulled your attention at a certain point. You're like, well, why didn't they just fix that? Like, why? Like, it's an odd thing for a giant movie star in a big movie to have like a small shaving cut. Like it was distracting to me. It's I was like, what? Like it made me uneasy, I think. But then it did play into the whole movie. So you know what? You got me.
Well, it establishes another thing, which I am kind of obsessed with, which is in movies in which Arnold Schwarzenegger is meant to be an ordinary guy.
Oh, yeah.
A normal small business owner, helicopter pilot, dude, just a
extreme sports,
a guy who happens to know how to snap people's necks, shoot a gun.
Well, that,
like do a lot of stuff.
He does not know how to do that. I'd argue
he
that
snaps Wiley's neck. Like he snaps a bunch of necks.
Well, but I agree.
He's a straight up neck snapper.
Oh, I mean, this guy is breaking necks and taking names. But I mean, I think that you're supposed to believe that he's never been in a situation like this before. It's not like, oh, and also he was an ex-military man, and that's why he knows this. Like he goes from
but
normal
does he
Joe
wear a military
to
jacket.
That he does, jacket? And I guess there was he is some sort of he has a war wound that Tony okay. Goldwyn at one point says, you know, we also replicated your war scar or whatever. So I guess I theoretically he was in some sort of war that we are just not privy to the information.
Well, I mean,
of,
this movie does take place, as they say, sooner than you think.
Most Ooh, movies will give you a year sooner than you think.
Most movies will give you a year. This says sooner than you think. And we know it's the future because, or I guess I should say, we know this is the failed future because this is a movie that comes out in 2000, probably at the height of the XFL. And they went all
oh my God.
In. They
Hard.
Went all in. The opening sequence of this movie is fully XFL football, which is real. If you didn't know about XFL, oh yeah, XFL
was like it was like
I thought
indoor,
that was just like they didn't have the rights to say NFL.
No, it was like an actual. Paul, you probably know better than,
yes,
than me.
Vince
it was
McMahon.
Like an actual league that was started.
Yes, and it's back. No. It was founded by Vince McMahon. It has come back. It's
That's
basically
what it is. Yeah, Vince
you know,
McMahon.
Vince McMahon. It was a joint between the WWF and NBC, where they basically decided, hey, let's make football a little bit scarier. Let's do it in a different time. It was running during late winter and early spring, because it was like, hey, you want more football? Here you go. It featured various modifications, to increase its intensity, as well as on-air innovations such as sky cams. And they also did, I think you could hear in the huddle. So you would have like, microphones. Wow. On players, in-game interviews. So things that actually they do now in all
anyway.
Sports. Yeah.
Wait, so what, but were they modifying like the actual sport of football? Like, was it more
intense? Wasn't there, wasn't it supposed to be like fewer rules or wasn't it supposed to be
or
like
sexier?
A harder, edgier, an edgier game or a faster
yes,
game or something?
Yes, it was a smaller team. That was one of the big things because it was all in these like smaller indoor stadiums, right? Like here's like, I'll tell you these are the big different
This
rules
is now,
here.
Officially an XFL sports cast. We're just doing that now.
I can't believe this is real.
After 11 years of How Did This Get Made, we're switching to an XFL based.
And honestly, Jason, it was a really easy transition.
Really? It was very like the other thing. Here's the thing. We have so much to discover. None of us know much of anything, and we're about to learn a lot.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so here we go. First thing, the big thing.
Devin, could you drop in a whistle here to start the game?
players cannot move forward until the ball is caught by the returner that is on the kickoff. Similarly, on punts, the punting team cannot release past the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked, which made it so you would encourage returns on kickoffs and punts. The other big thing about this was they would not do field goals for extra points. Instead, it had a three-tiered point system. So, it was 1 point you run a play from the 2nd yard line, 2 points if you run a play from the 5 yard line, 3 points if you run a play from the 10 yard line. No kicking points were allowed. And then overtime
no
rules.
No kicking points were allowed. That seems like a real, like, anti-soccer bias.
Yeah.
It's like,
it was
you know
really
what?
Like,
you
no
can't
punters.
Score any points with your feet.
And then the way that they did overtime was overtime shall consist of 5 rounds staged in alternating single play possessions like an NHL shootout. A round would consist of one offensive play per team. Each possession starts at the opponent's 5 yard line and the offensive team has one play to score. The team with the most points after 5 rounds was the winner. Kind of sounds fun.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, it just sounds faster, and it sounds like the games probably have higher scores or something like that.
25-second play clock. They
You're
could
always
do a double
points. Yeah.
A double forward pass. And after the 2-minute warning, they allowed teams to come back. So, you know, basically it was just like, they basically
and
just wanted you to be
wrestling moves scoring. Are, and you can suplex anybody that you want.
Yes.
Right?
And look, and
wrestling
you know, that was,
moves
that was
are fully approved.
Yeah, you could definitely slam a chair over an offensive player's head if
they
were coming at you.
Every game is a steel cage game.
but yeah, I mean, I love a movie that where the studio and everyone's like, okay, yeah, we know this is the future and we're going to make this so it will, like when people watch this in 20 years, they're going to be like, oh, wow, this feels current and topical. Yeah. But the XFL stadium and that opening scene is wild because a character that we really don't ever see again is
Johnny Phoenix.
Johnny Phoenix is just, you know, basically he's paralyzed in the opening
he's murdered.
Scene.
And, he's, and I mean, essentially, not. I mean, he dies in the ambulance, but like,
well, I mean, he dies
he
because
gets clobbered.
They force him to die. Like they go, well, you know what? Because they don't want to pay him out. I mean, that really is the.
I think that their idea is basically rather than treat his broken spine, they would rather just in 2 hours they can have a new clone of him up and running. Right.
Right. And. They don't want to pay somebody who is recouping in a hospital. They would rather clone a new version of him
and
so
have him play next week.
That's
one of the first things that you get. That's one of the first hints that something's awry. You watch the cold open of the movie and I thought that it was effective. Like you see the game and the game is, they shot the shit out of the XFL game. I'm assuming the stadium
amazing
was already set up for
there.
It. So it really, it looks good. And then they clobber him. Then Michael Rooker, Yondu from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies comes in, who is just one of the great character actors of all time.
Absolutely.
And he gets in the car. He's obviously, if Michael Rooker or Sean Bean are in the movie, they are the bad guy.
Always. They're so good.
Oh, yeah. They're the best.
They're
and Tony
terrifying.
Goldwyn, for that matter.
Tony Goldwyn.
He's
great.
Always great.
He's incredible here
God, he's
again.
So good.
He's so good here. He's so good in Ghost. He's so good.
He's
Tony
so
Goldwyn
good
is
Ghost.
So good at playing that
so good in
charming,
Scandal.
Smarmy bad guy. You know, like the, and Michael Rooker is the best, like the muscle, the bad guy, the true.
By the
danger.
Way, and we also have the first on-screen performance by Terry Crews as the muscle in this movie, which was also great to see. I love it. And it was before Terry Crews had kind of found like the Terry Crews that we know and love. So he is just, he's very intimidating, but like, it's not like, it's not a, it's,
he's
yeah, I think
like
he has
part
more likability.
Yes.
You know,
well, I mean, the Terry Crews that we know from Brooklyn Nine-Nine or from like recent Terry Crews has like a real like affability to him. And this performance is menacing. Like he is one of the bad guys. He is one of the cabal of kind of villainous people who are the killers. You know, it's him.
Sarah Winter.
Yeah.
Okay, that wig stuff made me laugh, though, because when there's one bad guy who's a bad gal played by this actress, she's very beautiful, and she, when she gets cloned, so she's wearing this like bright blue wig or colorful wig when we first meet her and is dressed like really futuristic. But when she gets cloned, you know, their bodies come out sort of like from, it looks like they're coming directly from the embryo sac and filled with like, you know, embryonic fluid and like skin that's extra skin that hasn't come off yet. So when she comes out, she has a head of hair on her, like her real hair.
We've already seen her in her chopped bob.
Right. But
yeah.
Then
but
she
now,
has
when she comes out of the tent, yes.
Yeah. And she says, like, like she's pissed that this has happened again. And she says, like, I can't believe I'm going to have to go get my hair done again.
Do you know how expensive that hair treatment is?
It is. And I'm like, well, so she's going to her hairstylist every, like, what was
four
that
times.
Hair person think?
She's been four times.
Right, with her normal head of
with
like natural
completely,
hair.
Yes, and that person has to recreate. So that person must be faced with utter confusion. Like, how has this happened?
That person must be like, am I okay? Like, what?
You have to assume that she's going to different hair places.
You see, no, I
so
assume
as to
that
not raise any
sound
alarm.
Like can it, I, Jason, can it I, didn't no. sound like it.
What I think is happening, and it, based on how this movie plays out, I think she's going back to the hairstylist, having her fix her hair, shooting her, and then recloning her back to before she went in to get her hair cut
again.
You think
she's been there? She's using the tech to clone her hairdresser?
So the hairdresser doesn't realize that she's been doing this new haircut. Because this is the kind of cloning that's going on. By the way,
the cloning
about
does seem willy-nilly.
Oh, well, June, and when you talked about
Tony Goldwyn says you can do it in 2 hours. I was like, wait, what?
I mean, there is a moment. They gloss over the cloning so quickly that they actually drop it in the background in a commercial.
It all begins with the growing of blanks. Animal drones stripped of all characteristic DNA in embryonic tanks at the Repet factory. In stage two, your pet's DNA is extracted from a lock of fur or a drop of blood and then infused on a cellular level into the blank. In the final stage, using Repet's patented cerebral syncoding process, all of your pet's thoughts, memories, and instincts are painlessly transplanted via the optic nerve.
Like, that's the biggest explanation we get of cloning in, like, the pet store scene, which is off to the side, but they're cloning full people. And my question to you, June, you brought it up, was when they come out of that sack, they rub like gunk on them. They rub like embryonic fluid on them. Like
I think they're rubbing it off of them, aren't they?
Oh, I thought they were rubbing it like on to make their skin more silky smooth. I didn't know. Okay, it's they're scooping it off.
They're rubbing it to make their skin more silky smooth.
Yeah, like I thought they would put like almost like putting like a Cetaphil on them.
So you think the goal of the
like
clones
yeah.
is to have softer skin?
I think it's like, hey, look, you've been hanging around in this bag.
I'm coming out of this sack all calloused and with workman's hands.
You know what it is?
I want like, silky sort of smooth, like, baby.
It's like, you know, you just got cloned. Let's just like massage your muscles. Like it's like tenderizing meat. Because the truth is, too, these
Wait,
are
bodies. Do you
bodies.
Think these clones are to be eaten?
Well, I mean,
tenderizing meat.
Well, it's like a meat locker. Like they're just hanging there. Like these half bodies with no faces. I mean, when we get to the melted man at the end, I have a lot to say. But
holy cow,
they're just like these. They're half grown. I mean, from what we saw last week on the show in Replicas, how they kind of fully grown. Like here they are like, let's just get it all ready. It's like they basically get the body at 75 and then you drop in the last 25%.
Yeah. That's,
well,
I think
there
that's
is
true.
Something like in these movies that I think the filmmakers think will love to, like the audience is going to love to see. And actually, I think I do love to see it. There's something interesting about seeing the birth of these clones on just sort of slabs of concrete where you're seeing these adult human bodies in like fetal positions. And it's just so, shocking, you know, to see like Tony Goldwyn when he, spoiler alert, he gets cloned at the end, but he doesn't get fully baked.
Right. They cut open his sack before he was ready. Like,
so
right,
he looks
to just see these adult
bad.
Bodies like cooking up. It's just so, it's so unsettling.
It's so unsettling to see like, the raw materials that we understand to be embryonic stages of birth mapped onto like full sized human beings.
Yeah.
You know, it's very strange to see all the things that we understand are natural for the birth of a child to have what's produced be these adults over and over and over again. We watch adults be cloned, which is very bizarre and unsettling, whether or not their skin is silky smooth enough for whoever
me,
is
for my liking.
Because
when Sarah Winter
them.
Came out, by the way, like I said, when Sarah Winter came out, you know, I thought to myself, she looks good. Like, and she was all mad that she didn't look good. I thought, you know, she came out of this cloning process. I feel like she looked like, I was like, you know what? Maybe a little bit less on the makeup there because I feel like her natural look, her freshly cloned, look was really nice. Right.
Do you want me to leave you alone with silky smooth Sarah Winter?
All right. Look, now we can all agree that there were some uncomfortable moments in watching these bodies pop out, but was it more uncomfortable than watching Arnold Schwarzenegger act naturally? Like when he is acting like a normal guy and smiling
when he's
and joking
like a dad.
Yeah. I don't
when
like
he's
it.
Acting God, like a dad like with that. His daughter, it was so weird. When he's like, you're absolutely right. There's all of the, I would say all of the family elements and the small business owner elements of this story are absolutely bizarre.
Was also like this sort of, I was wondering, actually. I was like, now, in the script, did the screenwriter originally intend for Arnold and his wife to have this like super horny relationship where they're constantly like trying to fuck in various places? Or is that Arnold?
Well,
is
I'll
that
tell you
Arnold
what,
being like, I don't know another way to relate
well,
to
Well, I mean,
woman,
the so. Language that tips it for me is when they basically have the dialogue that says, cigars make you horny.
Yes.
And he's such a it. Cigar guy that I'm like, this is Arnold 100%. Oh, like,
can I
you have to understand, like, this cigar is like a natural aphrodisiac, you know, he's like trying to get his weird stuff in there.
When he puts that cigar in her mouth and she takes a puff of that cigar, it's like, and that's what you want to kiss? You want to kiss that mouth full of like masticated tobacco, like that, like whatever that is. It's like that's not like a. I don't want to get into that making out right after that. Like, oh yeah, kiss me with your big old like mouth of cigar smoke. Oh yeah,
it really is like this kind of like. He really just is a totem of masculinity, of perceived masculinity, and like the cigar chomping helicopter pilot kind of, and it's not enough. There has to be like two of them, you know?
That's what I actually found interesting though, Jason, because I agree with you that, but at the same time, like for a long time, he hates his cloned self. And he's like disgusted by his clone self, which was interesting to me, like that he was a self-hating clone and that seeing himself like with his wife and, you know, and being in the world brought up so much anger for him.
But he didn't know he was a clone, Jen.
Yeah. All that time, he thought he was looking at a clone who he was treating as the other man kind of thing. He thought he was the original whose life had been... Wait a minute.
Hold on now, Jen.
Okay.
No,
go ahead,
I agree with you. But even so...
You have to agree. Okay.
Like, whoever's consciousness was in there, whether he came later or earlier...
Wait, hold on. Why are you saying it like it's up for debate? This is factual.
Whoever's consciousness is in there, it's Arnold.
It was very hard. It was sort of like when you're in New York City and someone's on the street doing that like three card Monty where you have to follow the card. Like for me, it was very hard to figure out at certain times who was real Arnold and who was clone Arnold.
Oh, now this is interesting.
I got a little lost.
Well, this is interesting. Well, okay, so June.
But even if he's, as you say, he's the clone looking at his real self, like why is that clone's consciousness upset with himself? Like, why is he automatically so disgusted by himself?
Because he's on the outside of his life and is perceiving who he thinks is the clone as having
sex with his wife.
As having replaced him in his family.
I understand that, you guys. I understand
are you saying that?
He also seemed to be irritated by who he was.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He found himself distasteful.
I see. I think he found the circumstance. I see what you're saying. I think he found the circumstance distasteful and upsetting. I don't think he was
all the time. Like they had this sort of like they were ribbing each other. Like they were. He was.
Yeah. Who's the better pilot? Or who's the better shot? Yes.
Oh yeah. Like he does. That is an odd thing. And this is why I don't understand the clone aspects of this movie, because they are the same, but yet he's like, oh, I knew you wouldn't do it the right way, or I knew I'm a better pilot than you. There shouldn't be any deviation. It's not like it's a clone. You should be.
I don't think there is. I think they are exactly the same. I think they're just kind of playing into the emotionality of trying to get you to side with the Arnold that we are following for most of the movie, who we think is Arnold Prime.
Well, okay, but then we reveal
in the third act that the Arnold that we have been following, he is the clone. The main character we've been following that we thought was the Prime is actually the clone. And that's kind of the big spoiler of the movie.
I mean, and you're at that point, you're so invested in the clones and Adam's journey. Adam, of course, Adam and Eve is the first. Well, he's not even the first man clone. So I guess Adam and Eve doesn't even work. But in the deleted scenes, there is a scene where the clone Schwarzenegger and the regular Schwarzenegger do look at each other's dicks, and then they go, no, mine's bigger, and mine's bigger, and then they go on. It's a 10-minute long scene. I could see why it was cut out of the movie. But you, the audience, don't know.
I would not be surprised. I honestly would not be surprised.
By the way, I would not be surprised if there was a joke that they cut out of Schwarzenegger going,
oh,
like,
yeah,
you can't kiss as good as me. Kiss me.
I love how obsessed he was with the minivan. I saw it, it's in the minivan. Like,
by the way,
it's like minivan equals sex. Yeah, and like both Arnolds know it.
By the way, I've been preaching about the minivan for a long time, and I'm happy that two movies in a row both involve clones and both involve minivans. This
Paul,
movie,
do you not understand that this is basically suggesting a world in which you are going to try and clone June and your children in
June,
your minivan?
Don't come upstairs.
Don't come
upstairs
to the Pacifica
closet.
If you hear anything.
I said it's a hybrid, but it really is a tank where I'm producing bodies out of there.
Oh my god.
So what did he do? I mean, because this is the other thing I had a question about, too, because the movie does do some actually, I think, very cool future things. Like, I like the way the helicopters look, and I like some of the technology. Like, I felt like they walked an interesting line of keeping it very current, but not like that middle ground futuristic, I guess. But what was his job? His job was taking these people. It looked like they were leaving from very far away to go very far into the mountains to go skiing. Like he ran like an extreme sports.
Yeah, he's got like a helicopter company which transports people, in the case of this movie, transports people, I think, from Los Angeles to the mountains to go heli-skiing. They drop people off at like a base camp and they go snowboarding or skiing or whatever. And that's the service. And in the shop, they also, it looked like, had like water gear or other extreme sports things.
I guess my thought was they're dropping them off at the very top of this mountain. What's the return route? It seemed like these people were like leaving their stuff there. It's like when you rent skis for the day, you put your shoes in a cabinet, you get the ski boots. It seemed like they flew so far away that, like, wouldn't you just go like, all right, now we're going to go down to the bottom of the mountain and then wait for you? Or like, how long
was
this?
That's a good question. Like, how long are those runs? And then, like, how do the people get back? Do the people at the bottom of the mountain just get on a bus and the bus brings them back?
I mean, they're flying through canyons. Like, they're not, it wasn't like, oh, we just flew for, I mean, it seemed like that was quite a journey.
Those helicopters also transform into some like sort of jet or something. So I think they're suggesting that they could fly very quickly to like the Rockies or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I was saying. Like they left them in a different state, and those people.
I think so.
Yeah, and those people seem like it wasn't like, okay, put your bags on here, you're gonna have a great trip. It was just. I also feel like if you're gonna bring two helicopters there, all the fuel that you're spending, like why not just meet them at the bottom? There's a lot of questions I had there, and
sure. You have a lot of questions about the business.
I want to see where they're making money.
Because, well,
I'd love for Marcus Lemonis to get involved with this business.
Well, because it feels like if you're a helicopter charter company, then you should just be. Like you could be transporting anyone to anywhere, right? Like we might need a helicopter to go to Vegas, or I actually have no idea if they can fly that far, but you could take people everywhere. But it seemed like his sort of, his like core competency was taking extreme sports people to far, which is just, it's such a narrow.
It's a niche business,
it's
you know?
It's really a niche business.
For a waterfront business in the city, that's high real estate that you have to have this landing pad. Like, it seemed like he owned all of that, and yet he lived a pretty simple life. That house was very, you know,
and
very
why,
quaint.
Like, what I could understand is, like, why did he need the remote arm that was used to pilot the helicopter?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I didn't understand.
Because it's dangerous terrain?
I didn't understand that either. Like, I mean, obviously it's so that we can have it in the third act when we want there to be like a helicopter flying with nobody in it. But yes, what use would he in normal business have for a remotely flyable helicopter so that you can just, you know, autopilot more snowboarders from your desk or something? Well, I don't know.
That's what I thought, but it seemed like they needed to be kind of in range, like an electric car. Like, there's something a couple like questions that. There.
There's also like auto driving, full automatic driving, like Tesla style, like what we currently are on the verge of.
Right.
Like when in the scene with his friend is, and business partner is Michael Rapaport.
That's right.
And they are pilots together in this business. And, he drives the autonomous car truck. And so we see that. And I was like, in the year 2000, I was like, oh, wow, this really looks like what driving is going to be very soon. Yeah. Like this looks like
not though, Jason, because you know, the research they've done about that, like most people are very hesitant to sit in self-operating cars, even though it would reduce the number of accidents.
I heard incredibly. The number of deaths per year in car accidents would plummet if autonomous driving was implemented. I heard a great podcast that compared the same societal fears to elevators. That people, when elevators were introduced, were like, no way. There's no way I will get on an elevator. Absolutely not. And so it really was this impediment to building bigger buildings because people didn't trust the elevator. Sure. And part of the reason that there were elevator operators was that people, a lot of times those elevator operators didn't even do anything, but do something that was for optics. Right. So that people would trust that there was a human in charge of the elevator. But that wasn't necessary. It was psychological for the people who were using the elevator.
Especially with like distracted driving and people texting while driving, which I really, you know, is so upsetting to me. I hope we can get behind it sooner rather than later.
All right. So I know we spent a lot of time here in the beginning of the movie, but I want to spend one more minute here to go. The man leaves his house and seemingly gets to work and gets a phone call from his wife saying, dog's dead.
Okay. So I have a question about this. Is the dead dog just a complete coincidence? The dog died of a very strange illness on the same day that Arnold is cloned?
I mean, the dog died instantly.
The dog, I mean, we saw the dog in the morning.
He's poisoned.
I'm genuinely curious, like, why is this story element in the movie?
Because they need to explain cloning.
I think it's to get us to repet. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I've never put down a dog, but my understanding is that sometimes something's going on with the dog and you take them to the vet and they're like, we're going to put down, you know, humanely the dog as soon as possible.
Right.
Sure.
So I just figured like they got some bad news and he had to go.
But Jim, yeah. But the difference of that would have been like, it should have been, they wake up, it's his birthday. He feels really good. He's laughing. He's scaring children. He looks intimidating to his wife and family. And then they go, oh no, what's wrong with Baxter? You know, he looks sick.
I'll take him to the vet.
I'll take him to the vet. And then when he gets there, she's like, I did take him to the vet. We got to put him down. But she seemingly is at work and she's like, oh, hey, dog died. Like it wasn't
And what was it? What do you mean? We saw him this morning. He was fine. It was a mystery virus. Oh, he was licking the Clara's face. It's fine. They told me. I was like, this has got to be a fake out of some sort. And it wasn't.
No.
She wasn't even delayed getting to work. To be that callous, it'd be like, oh, fuck, the dog died. Okay, well, I'll take care of it later. I'm going to go to work. Honey, you go to school. We'll deal with it. And it was like, there was no, and this is a family that doesn't reclone their pets. And we understand that this is the only thing that they let you do in this world because they have these 6-day laws where they don't allow you to clone people.
Let me say something right now. Paul, obviously, I'm a new dog owner. This is the first dog I've ever had the privilege of taking care of. I would reclone him.
Oh, I would reclone him too. I didn't think that was a very bizarre thing. Like, I thought Schwarzenegger's hesitation was so weird.
I mean, people do that. That currently is done.
What?
Well, but no. Yes.
No, like, Jason.
Yes.
Vanderpump did it, didn't she?
Recloned?
Yes. I'm almost positive
it's definitely done.
I think it's, I don't think it's.
Oh, Barbara Streisand, not Vanderpump. Barbara Streisand did it.
Okay, I think that's right. Yes, that sounds right. I think it's, I don't think it's like easy to do or anything like that.
For $50,000, she did it.
Yeah, I think it is doable.
Wow.
That being said, If I could bring Turkey the dog back to life via a clone, I don't think I would. I think I'd just go and get another dog. There's another dog out there that needs me.
You know what?
I don't
That's
need
a
to
good
like,
point.
I don't need to create some sort of clone of Turkey that will eventually turn evil and try and kill me. That's just got to happen, right?
You know what, Jason? You're right. There are so many dogs that are currently living that need homes.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a good point.
I mean, here's the thing that is odd about the cloning of the dog. It like you were freaking out the dog. Like it was all to make like dogs disposable. It's like, hey, they're gonna know where their bones are buried. They're gonna get the whole like it was sort of like this idea that the dog's memories were intact. I mean, that's the one thing that I don't think that cloning is actually done. Like I think you can actually clone the DNA of an animal, but you couldn't just like have all their memories in there as well. I think that's why animals are easier to clone. It's not like,
yes, I think that's true. You're not, you're cloning the biological form. You're not cloning like the dog. I don't believe will have memories or
I mean,
any of that.
Think about all the science that you would have to do to be like mapping a dog's brain to have that much. Like that seems really complex.
Here's the thing that the movie is really going to great lengths to over and over again give you examples of cloning, examples of it working, it not working. I'd like to take this moment now to talk about the SimPal doll.
Cindy? God, yes.
There's another step to help explain this, which is like a kind of animatronic My Buddy style life-size doll. You had one or you wanted one, Paul? I can't remember.
By the way, I told you one of the saddest things. Well, I would have wanted one. At one point, I had to write an essay for school, and the essay was like, what's one thing that you would want? Like a Christmas list kind of a thing. And I said I wanted a robot so I could hang out with and I could talk to and have basically a friend, like a robotic friend. And then when I saw Cindy, I was like,
make me cry.
Oh,
I lived in an area. There were no kids around. They couldn't leave I left my house and there was no kids for miles.
Paul,
you have so many good, sad stories. That one makes me think of one from my childhood, which I can only access because it has been told to me because I have no memories. We lived in the town that I eventually grew up in, I lived in a different town. And when we moved into our house, I went outside in the front yard for a while and my mom watched me and I was wearing like a cowboy hat and like a holster with cap guns and like a little cowboy outfit. And I was like hanging out and I came in after a while and my mom said, how did it go? And I said, there was nobody around. I even shot my gun and nobody heard it and came, you know, nobody heard my shots and came to see what was going on.
Lonely childhoods
create podcast here.
I will say that I had a lovely childhood filled with friends and neighbors on the block and my two sisters. And
so you don't get Cindy.
I didn't get Cindy. I always had kids to play with. She looked like, I was confused about her because she looks like a burn victim.
Yes, I wrote that down.
Yeah.
And to your point, Paul, about like the skin and cloning, I guess, is a form of like exfoliation and like another step in your skincare
I don't think that they may have put
routine.
Yeah, sure.
but what was her story? Because I didn't know why she had to look like she had skin.
Why? And also, why do we need why do we need this thing to help us understand that we are able to do this? We can't clone actual people. Spoiler alert, we can, but we can do this thing. We have this available and we can clone your pets. So
yeah,
seems redundant. Like it doesn't seem like a necessary tool in the movie to have the doll.
The SimPal plays no part in this movie whatsoever because the SimPal just seemed like a robotic futuristic toy. Like it didn't seem like.
Oh, and also Michael Rapaport's like AI or VR girlfriend. There's a couple of different.
Was she AI or versions. Was she VR? Because she unzips his pants just like the ghost in Ghostbusters.
I think the chair does that.
Oh,
interesting.
I think the chair does that. She is a computer like hologram something. She
who
is
likes
a,
to watch
she's
sports.
Not phys- she doesn't have physicality. I think the chair. I think he right has there. To be sitting in the chair for the physical stuff to work.
Guys, I just want to show you something really quickly. If you are interested,
and I've looked, the chair is not for sale.
Oh, okay. If you are interested, I would love to just show you very quickly. If you'd like to purchase Cindy, you can.
No!
That is.
Oh, Paul, no!
That is what? $475. This is the hero. And
this
here's
is
another
the actual
version
one?
Of it. These are the actual ones.
Oh, I don't want to see this at all. This is like Annabelle movie.
Yeah, this is.
I think just having seen this is going to curse us.
For only $475, bucks, you can get. You can get your own Cindy with small teeth and everything.
Small teeth and everything?
I mean...
Is that what's in the write-up?
Look at that. Look at that.
Ew. Oh,
gosh.
This is
she
absolutely...
Looks like she's really been through it.
Haunting.
Oh, my God.
This looks like a movie. This looks like a horror movie doll.
I know.
And even when... Oh, like, yeah. Here's a scene from... Here's a still from the movie that Paul is now showing us that is terrifying.
Well, here's... Okay. Can I... This is my pitch for the movie. It's about the future. Why not have a real girl?
Yes.
On the counter.
Great.
And like make
acting
it like
small a doll.
Wonder. Yes.
Acting
that, to
a
me,
little bit like a doll.
This
yes.
was like Great. A very, this is like a very weird American Girl doll. Like
see,
there is nothing about
what I think is, I think at the time, this seemed incredible.
Okay.
This seemed really? Super high tech at the time.
Okay.
Like a moving, talking, like articulated doll? No? And like 21 years ago? No?
I mean,
maybe?
She was so sort of, she just looked a mess.
I mean,
no, I agree.
I mean, but by the way, it's like if you're trying to say like we're in a world of cloning and all this stuff, but our doll technology has failed. Like that's what I was getting from it. Our doll technology has not exceeded our human experimentation. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, this is so upsetting. I want to play a clip of Cindy.
We're falling. I will say the United States is falling so far behind in doll technology.
I mean, it's
that we are in danger of
vote.
Losing
get
the doll
to
race.
The polls and vote. We need to get in people who are going to push forward great doll legislation. Here's a clip of Cindy and her unnervingness.
If you get this message,
let's
head
be
home.
Friends. What's your name?
Just can you see that I'm talking quiet? Head home to my house with a bunch of flowers and a good excuse, otherwise Natalie's gonna kill you.
I can sing songs. Would you like to sing with me?
Excuse me, do you know how to turn this thing
I
off?
Can play games.
My niece has one. Say, go to sleep, Cindy.
I can sing
go
songs.
Go to sleep, Cindy.
Would you like to sing with me?
Go to sleep.
All right, so Cindy is weird, and I have a question as I just watched that with the cab driver, because Arnold in that is in a retro cab, which I guess
yeah.
people do. But does that mean the first cab driver was complicit in the cloning?
Does that mean the...
Because the first cab driver, they must have just... Because he was
no,
passed out.
No, I don't think so. I think they just brought him, threw him in a cab, and said, take him to the Woodland Mall.
Okay, so... I mean, can somebody also, while we're here, just explain exactly what happened? Because, all right, so basically Michael Rapaport, who we haven't even checked in with truly, besides
also,
his
Also, Robert
VR.
Duvall is in this movie. We haven't even spoken to that yet.
I thought he was great.
He's
terrific. He really did a great job.
Well, I mean, literally, like, to Goldwyn, Duvall, like, everybody's, like, doing great
doing it,
here,
doing
you know?
It up, for sure.
The woman, who's the woman who played Duvall's wife, Catherine? She was fantastic.
She, that was a very heartbreaking.
That scene in the hospital was terrific.
I know, and that's the weirdest thing about this movie is that that's why I kind of enjoyed it, because you get these performances. That scene broke my heart.
It was great.
Oh, my God.
Who's that actress?
It was great.
I've seen her in other things, and she's
oh, yeah.
Great.
I couldn't yeah. place, but I thought that, I especially, so there are scenes like that where it really helps ground the movie's truly kind of preposterous other stuff. Arnold's, how unnatural Arnold is in the world, all this stuff.
I was going to say that actress is, her name is Wanda Canyon, and she was most noted for her performance in the 1993 film For the Moment, and she also was on My Secret Identity.
Cool.
So, yeah, there you go.
Like that scene, her, the dynamic between her and Duval is terrific, you know, and this idea that she has been cloned and is aware of it and she wants to die because she says these memories, they're not mine. They're hers. Like that was a haunting.
Yeah, it was.
There was a haunting scene to have her speak to the fact that she felt like a disconnect between her memories and her body, you know, like your mind and your body, the mind body connection. Like really interesting.
I mean, this is
there was stuff in there that I was like, this is an interesting idea. These are interesting ideas.
I would have loved a side plot of that movie. I mean, that's it's very much like Tarkovsky's Solaris, which we talked about on Unspooled during our space miniseries.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, we're talking about clones here on this podcast.
I just was going on a deep dive into Tarkovsky's Solaris. No big deal.
So irritated. I'm so irritated. I mean, there are, and again, back at this podcast, there are interesting ideas that come up. It's all just so, it's just all so messy and ultimately doesn't amount to much. Like I never really got at why they were embedding the DNA with these diseases so that their shelf lives and
for control, right?
Okay, yeah, I can explain that.
Please,
it's ultimately not as interesting as it maybe
you
could have been.
To be.
So Tony Goldwyn is essentially putting flaws into the clones so that he can have control over them. So if Johnny Phoenix has got, I can't remember, liver cancer or something. Yeah. And so the shelf life is like 1 to 5 years for these clones so that he can basically say, I can just shut you down and create a new clone. I don't need you. So Johnny, football player guy, I can't remember his name.
Phoenix.
If Johnny Phoenix wants to renegotiate his contract, I don't have to do that with him. I can just kill him. Clone him again, like he's gonna die.
Why do you need to put the disease there? Just kill him.
He could just kill him.
No, I think he's doing it because it's a threat to them. You know, like he's got like some leverage over them.
Like it's saying, if you don't play ball, you're gonna die in 5 years. And if you do play ball, you're gonna die in 5 years. And if you really don't play ball, I'm gonna kill you.
Oh no, but you're gonna die in 5 years. But I'm gonna bring you back. If you don't play ball, you're going to die in 5 years and I'm not going to bring you back.
Well, I mean, he does reveal.
Are immortal or you are, I control whether you come back or not. You're going to die regardless.
Got it. All right. He does kind of explain his big plan at the end.
In 2 years, three tops, I will control enough votes to get the laws changed. And then we won't have to lose our best people. We won't have to lose our Mozarts. We won't have to lose our Martin Luther Kings. We will finally be able to conquer death.
And who gets to decide who lives and who dies? You?
You have a better idea?
Yeah. What about God?
Oh, you're one of those. I suppose you think science is inherently evil.
No, I don't think science is inherently evil, but I think you are.
If you believe that God created man in his own image, then you also believe that God gave man the power to understand evolution, to exploit science, to manipulate the genetic code, to do exactly what I'm doing. I'm just taking over where God left off.
If you really believe that, then you should clone yourself while you're still alive.
And why's that? So I can understand your unique perspective?
No, so you can go fuck yourself.
There it is. I mean, that's the plan is that he controls the cool people who come back. I mean, like, he's the arbiter of what people deserve to live and die. Like, I mean, he is God?
I think he's just, it's a total God complex. I think he's basically, at a certain point, offers Arnold immortality. You know, he's saying you can live forever. And
as long as you don't piss me off.
Yeah, as long as you don't piss me off. Otherwise, I can just keep rebooting you, and erase the bad stuff and give you the life you want. I can give it to you forever. You can live forever. And that's, and then, you know, there's all this.
Would either of you take that?
No. No, I think the concept of death is what makes life worth living.
Wow. June?
pass.
I'm sorry, not the concept of death, the guarantee of death.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no. I agree with that, but
I'm signing up.
Yeah, I'm also like, I'd like to know a little bit more. I'd like to read the fine print.
You want to get the brochure from Tony
Yeah,
Colbert.
I'd like to look through the literature.
I wouldn't mind more years. I wouldn't mind more years, but I'm not sure about immortality. I don't know. I don't know.
I'd like more years.
I'll take more years. I thought there was a straight up Monty Python.
As long
scene.
As they're Wonder Years.
and then like, who's narrating? Is it Daniel Stern narrating you, or are you narrating you? I mean, that.
Oh man, that's such a, yeah, it's Daniel Stern, but he's playing one of the wet bandits.
Oh,
he's playing
now.
His character from Home Alone.
So now Harry.
Actually,
doing
it's Joe Pesci. Yeah. I want bandits. Joe Pesci narrating my Wonder Years.
By the way, they're actually.
This fucking guy. Oh no, I remember this fucking guy. Oh shit. This
remember, he can't. No, remember, he can't curse at Home Alone. He's clean. He has like, oh, that's it, right. Fucking there's a scene in this movie that made me laugh so hard. That was such a Monty Python scene where they blow off one of the bad guy's legs, and he's just hopping around on one leg trying to fire a gun. Like they do a lot of
Michael
body.
Rooker. Michael Rooker, and he goes, yes. Those are new boots. He blew his entire leg off.
And her fingers. And then Arnold takes the fingers to fingerprint activate the car. I mean, it was comical.
Yes. There is like 20 minutes of the movie where Arnold is walking around with one of Sarah Winter's thumbs and just keeps using it to get into buildings, get into elevators, get into the car. It's thumbs up. It's really funny.
I mean, here's the thing that I was curious about.
He even says,
about.
I'm all thumbs today. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was curious about like the I don't know, mall or space where all the cloning things seem to happen. Like, because correct me if I'm wrong, when Arnold gets Cindy, it's because he went there to get his dog repetted, right?
That's the Woodland Hills Mall. So he goes to the mall to go to repet. But across from the repet in the mall is a kiosk selling the dolls. And he buys the doll instead of the dog. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other Arnold has arrived earlier and did get the dog at repet.
Did anyone else find it disturbing that the woman who was selling the doll was also in pigtails? Like the grown woman?
Oh. I didn't like that either.
I did not care for that. Not one bit.
I didn't like the illustration that accompanied the doll. I didn't like the drawing of the Sim Pal.
No.
Either. Like, it all was unsettling.
I mean, like, listen, I never like adult women in details.
Yes, I didn't like that.
I mean, the best friend money can buy. And it was, I also didn't like that there was no variation on these dolls. Like, you had to get the one. I mean, this Sim Pal thing really upsets me.
It's really, really upsetting. Really but it does look like that was, just stay on her for a second, Paul. Like, that was, this girl was a person. I mean, they based this off of someone real.
Well, you know what? Avril actually showed us an idea that she thinks it was based off of, like a Cindy Brady.
Oh,
yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
You know, they are dressed almost identical in the picture that she pulled, like old school Cindy Brady. So if that's the in.
I was wondering if they were trying to make it look like the young actor who plays the daughter, if there was some connection they were trying to draw to that. But I don't know if that's the case.
It
was weird. It's like, it's bizarre. The fact that there is... The fact that there are so many iterations of alternative characters in this, from cloned dog to a kind of cyborg doll to virtual sex hologram to full-blown clones, that's like four different types of like altered reality characters in a movie that is really, at its core, what if there were two Arnolds?
That's it. That's it, baby.
The whole movie is what if there were two Arnolds, but they're adding so much other stuff. They're chumming the water with so much other weird stuff that I'm just like, get rid of this doll. The doll doesn't matter. Get rid of the clone dog. That barely matters. Like, none of this is integral to helping us enjoy what if there were two Arnolds, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
And a minivan.
And also, the doll never comes back. Like, I was waiting for that doll to either be activated at some point or to call on, like, an army of dolls.
I love it.
You know, but she never returns.
No, everybody seems to think the doll is important. He's got the doll for a while, right, and there's a car chase, and he's got the doll. Then the bad guys have the doll, and then they are like, the doll is talking to them. Like, they seem to think the doll has value as well.
But by the way, they also, Schwarzenegger says to the cab driver in that scene, he's like, how do I shut her off? And the cab driver's like, oh, actually, this is how you shut her off. Like,
yeah,
like they
go to
know
sleep, to Cindy, go to sleep. Like, in the move, what the movie should have been is like when he steals the disc containing Tony Goldwyn's consciousness, he should slip it into the doll's drive, right? Like, so that it's hidden inside the doll, so that the doll is now has the consciousness of Tony Goldwyn. And so that you've got this kind of hybrid thing where Tony Goldwyn wakes up inside the body of a doll instead of inside the bad clone, right?
I like that.
Then you're like, that's why this doll has been here. That's why they even started introducing this doll, you know?
Or you find out in that final scene, he goes, how are you financing all of this? And he says, oh, what we are financing is we are killing children, taking their memories and putting them into sim dolls, and that because they cost like $200 a head, we're able to keep, like, it's like they basically created like a Cabbage Patch doll to fund a larger cloning operation. So the sim dolls are the front for the larger operation they're doing behind the scenes. Now that
it's a long way to get there, but they got there. Well, what's so funny about, I love that idea. And what's so funny about Tony Goldwyn when he wakes up as his sort of half baked self is that he doesn't realize, like, I found it fascinating. He doesn't realize that he's, you know, kind of not
a
all
mess.
Done.
A goo man. Just, he's a melted candle of a man.
Yes, with like skin falling off of him. He doesn't know that until he looks in the mirror.
And he's
young. That made me wonder, like, what is the experience of being a clone? Like, does he not?
Oh, well, now we're getting into what is consciousness? What is consciousness? And does it exist in your mind or in your body? Like, and does your consciousness extend to your body? Like, mustn't he know this body doesn't feel right? This is what we were talking about in Replicas.
Yeah. You know? Well, all he has to do is look down and see, like, he's.
Well, that's the thing. He gets dressed.
He has layers of skin falling off of him.
He gets dressed. He's naked. He gets dressed. He puts on the clothes from the healthy Tony Goldwyn. Doesn't he notice that his body is like, like sickly white and dripping like skin? Look, and it's not silky smooth.
Okay, to go back to the point I was making before about how this movie is unmasking like the amount of self-hatred we all have and exists within us. He's also cloned Tony Goldwyn is also upset with real Tony Goldwyn. They also have a healthy amount of disdain for each other.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if that's something that you mentally, we've never been in this situation, but you mentally must have to do that so you don't fall in love with yourself. Right? You must have to come into this world and be like, I must kill me so I am the only me. But Schwarzenegger, Adam, is the person who's able to say, you know what? I see you for you. I'm going to send you up to Paul.
Maybe it's not that we hate ourselves, that's actually that we love ourselves too much.
Self-preservation.
So seeing a version of ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at the end, Schwarzenegger and his clone seem to be like behaving as if they're twin brothers.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, what I did expect, which I was bummed didn't happen, was I thought the real clone was going to sacrifice himself.
Yes.
I thought so too.
It makes the most sense, but instead he just sets him up with a competing business
a franchise in Argentina. He sends him in a helicopter to Argentina. The clone
via a boat.
And one helicopter to Argentina.
By the way, on a boat. He's on a fucking boat. It's a jet. That thing can fly so fast. Why are you putting that on a boat?
I don't think it can get to Argentina. I thought for sure it was going to be like another three-card Monty surprise where, you know, like that old whatever parable from the Bible of the mother who, how they found out the real mother was the one who wouldn't kill her child. Like, I thought for sure we're going to understand who the real Arnold is because he's going to sacrifice himself for the sake of his family. But no, nope.
Both of them live.
By the way, I was like,
now why? Okay. So then to me, I'm like, okay. So the clone has all of the same life experience as as Arnold Prime, right?
Right.
Has all the same life experience, believes himself to be that man. He is that man, in fact. And he has to kind of go into the wilderness. In my mind, I was like, is this movie going to end with Clara and the wife and two Arnolds? Like, is this going to end with their family now includes two dads?
I mean, like, I wanted that. By the way,
I wanted that for everybody. I wanted the happy. And if he's not going to because I also thought he was going to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
If that's not going to happen, then why does he have to give up his family, give up his life, give up everything?
To me, this reeks of what you talked about before. Like, how much of this is Schwarzenegger? This movie gives you a chance to see something you've never seen in a movie before. Schwarzenegger getting killed. I'm sure now he's maybe changed that. But back then, at this point, like you could kill the good guy, but still have a good guy in the chamber.
Yeah.
But instead, like the life of him in this town alone, does he speak the language? What is he doing? Like, he's going to run. And by the way, he's running this extreme sports thing in Argentina. Does he even know that that's a place where he can fuel this? Like, is there enough interest in Argentina? What's the deal? Like, there's a lot of questions.
That's the sequel. The sequel is you really are obsessed with the small business element of this movie.
I watch a lot.
Is it smart to start a franchise? Is his wife going to start forensic accounting and be like, why do we have an outpost in Argentina?
Does he get a cut?
Yes. Well, I would assume he would. I would assume they're partners.
If I'm the IRS, I'm going to go and go, let me go visit that outpost in Argentina. Oh my God, you look just like him. And then are we going to say that we're twins or are we going to say our name is the same?
That's the thing. Schwarzenegger is, again, the most conspicuous person in every situation he's in. Like, he doesn't blend in.
Yeah.
He's not like a hulking kind of figure. So he's noticeable no matter where he is. So I just can't imagine a world in which they successfully blow up that building. And the war crimes that are going on inside of it, they are now landing themselves on, like, it's interesting. Like, we never really see the government, the police sort of we see, but like, we never see any law enforcement or any government agencies at all show interest in the chaos that is going on between the war of Tony Goldwyn and Duvall versus a helicopter pilot from Los Angeles that is literally blowing up city blocks of real estate.
Yes, it seems like Goldwyn's bought off politicians, the police, that they have that money has corrupted.
Yes.
Every brand.
That's true. But also it's sort of true because Michael Rooker, when Michael Rooker shows up to the police station where Arnold, the clone Arnold, is being held after his holographic virtual psychiatrist tells him he seems like he doesn't want to talk about his parents. Like, that was bit of hilarious comedy. Michael Rooker comes. It's not like he's like, we own you guys. Give us the guy. Michael Rooker's pretending to be a doctor. Like, they don't own the cops. It doesn't. The cops are just ineffectual, you know?
He's acting crazy.
There's a lot of shootouts and nothing ever happens.
I mean, they drive a car, a classic car, through multiple houses.
Yes. Yes.
Multiple
houses. And Arnold is just back at his house, just hanging out at home. I'm like, this area would be like, there would be so many police right now because there was a car chase and a shootout here like hours ago.
Yeah. I mean,
it is a bizarre movie.
It's really strange.
Now, obviously, though, we have opinions about this movie. There are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
shit. Yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
All right, these are five-star reviews that have been culled from the deepest wells of the internet. Let's jump right in. This one is from Bruce Winning. Bruce Winning writes, I like the action and I like the violence. The shooting is futuristic and I like it. The punching and kicking is just the same as it ever was and I like it. 5 stars. That's that from Bruce Winning.
Not wrong. The punching and the kicking, pretty same as it basic. Always was.
Also, Schwarzenegger does a big dive in this, too. There's some good diving in this. That was one thing I want to talk about. The use of slow-mo. I've never seen slow-mo used in an action movie. It was so upsetting. It was like, how can you make this not interesting? Like,
yes.
It was so weird
The use of slow-mo was weird, and the use of, like, glitchy kind of editing, chopped-up glitchy editing was also bizarre.
I mean, it's so bizarre. Okay, this next review is from Uncle Salty. Uncle Salty writes this. Monsanto, their genetically engineered MMO corn and all MMO crops should be abolished. Proof that you can't put the genie back in the bottle once unleashed. 5 stars. The title is, This is Why Genetic Engineering and MMO Crops Should Be Illegal.
5 stars, though.
Well, I mean, he's showing this is an allegory.
This is a cautionary tale.
Caleb Berner writes, really makes you think. 5 stars.
Whoa.
And he wrote that on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2020. And,
2020.
2020. Really making you think in 2020. Gloria J. Pringle writes, the title is Love Arnold. And the review is simply this. Watch this movie with my grandkids several times. Love Arnold. Whoa.
Also Christmas Day.
and then the final
that's a tradition, is you have to watch the 6th day on Christmas Day.
The final one is from MSL, and MSL writes, excellent movie, good plot / story, probably coming to life in about 10 years. Be ready.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
Oh my god. Well, that to me, I love, there's so many holograms in this movie, like when they're going into the main area where all of this genetic cloning is happening, but it's still sort of the public space, like atrium outside. There's holograms of people that to me for so long was just like peak future.
I love that kind of
all future. We could imagine were holograms. And I do feel like we now have holograms. The capacity to have it. Yeah, but it's not as interesting as we thought it would be.
Isn't there like a pop star who is a hologram that is a massive success?
There is definitely a Twitch streamer who is a pop, is a CGI character. Fully animated. Yeah.
I think there is a Japanese pop star who is a hologram. Oh, you are right.
Yes. Yeah. She's
literally
not a hologram.
She's like and you buy concert tickets to go and see a hologram perform pop songs.
I don't even think it's a hologram. I think it's CGI.
Oh, is okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm not, I'm going to look right now. I think it's called Magella, the CGI pop star and influencer. And this is a little taste of what her music sounds like. There she is.
What do you class as real? Is it something you can hold, touch, smell and taste? Or is it something you can see with your own two eyes? If it's the first choice, about 99% of social influencers have just been removed from your life. You've not met them, you've just seen them online. If it's the latter, then this next part isn't going to seem so strange.
Oh, wow.
What's up? It's Michaela here with YouTube Music at Coachella, and I'm joined
by... But that is someone's...
Whoa!
Thank you, Michaela. Nice to meet you. Bye. Finally.
Artificial influencers are growing followings of millions of teenagers and young adults on Instagram. That is,
ooh, that's intense.
Wow.
Yeah.
I believe there is also... I think the hologram that I was talking about is Hatsune Miku.
Oh, okay.
A Japanese hologram J-pop star.
So there's a lot. I mean, this
it's a thing.
Post is saying that there's one of many. There's a lot. This is a new thing. I can't wait for our kids to be
into AI.
What
you just showed me is very unsettling.
I didn't care for that.
I didn't like that at all. Not one bit. I did want to say one thing about Tony Goldwyn in this movie. We are introduced to one of the most powerful men in the world saying this line. Get the Speaker of the House on the phone. get me the Speaker of the House. why stop there? Just get me the wouldn't get me the president be a little bit more effective than this? Like he needs to talk to, you know, Mitch McConnell or Nancy Pelosi. It's like, what, like, are, you know, like what are
well,
we like?
Well, you know, he's trying to vote coming
he's
up.
Trying to okay. get legislation oh. passed, yeah. And he also knows that the speaker's son has a brain tumor.
Oh, okay. So okay.
So I think he's trying to play out his like Machiavellian plan.
Got it. Okay.
To get cloning legalized.
Oh
you
my
know?
Gosh. All right. So I guess it comes to that point in the show where I'll ask you. Do you recommend this movie? I'll quickly go first and say, absolutely. I had a fun time. It's a little bit long, but it's worth it. Jason, June, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree.
It's too long.
It's too yes. long. Yeah. But I mean, there's certainly some fun stuff in it. And I do think Arnold, as kind of anachronistic as he always seems in movies, is always a delight to watch. So there is stuff in here that's enjoyable, but it was a bit of a slog.
Yeah, I don't know if I would describe him as a delight to watch. I didn't have that feeling, but there are some great performances in here. And like Tony Goldwyn is a delight to watch for
yes,
me. But
Duvall doing great.
Yeah, but this is a movie that I would recommend you take take your edible with and just like, you know, fast forward a little bit, but see what's
yeah,
in there.
I like
because
that.
There's
fast
some
forward.
Crazy stuff in there. And listen, comparatively to some of the other movies we've watched, I didn't find this to be a painful viewing.
No, I agree. I think it, more than anything, it was because it was so long, it was a little boring. Mm-hmm. I think here's what you can do. You can fast forward through the Michael Rapaport Arnold helicopter race. You can fast
yes.
forward.
Oh, God, yes.
There's a bunch of stuff in Act 1 you can fast forward through. And then Acts 2 and 3, if you're confused, it doesn't matter. The movie's
well,
confused
don't
anyway.
Worry.
Yeah.
So don't worry
I mean,
about
we're
it.
We're still even confused about why there are two clones. I mean, it's explained, but it's a little bit, it is like, wait, but how did you not know? I will say that, I mean, there's some stuff in this movie, and I guess this is where the movie got me, and maybe I'm so dumb, but I'll put it out there and say, I was legit surprised when there was like when Schwarzenegger saw Schwarzenegger. I was like, I didn't know that was going to be what we were going to see, like a two-hander in it. And I was so pleasantly surprised to see them both like in the same scene working together. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why that eluded
like building
me.
Building that bomb.
Yeah. Like, know? I was like, yeah. Oh, that section was really,
yeah.
really
like
great.
Like when Arnold is doing banter with Arnold, it's kind of incredible. Like, if anything, I wish the movie had teamed them up earlier.
Yes.
Like, I almost feel like the movie did a slight disservice to what its premise is, because had it teamed up the Arnolds earlier, we would have had more fun with them together.
Yes.
Versus we really only get like two little scenes of the two Arnolds, versus if all of Act 3 or the end of Act 2 they'd gotten together, it would have been really fun for it to be more of two Arnolds versus the world.
Let's play a little clip of that.
Forget about talking to the police. I tried that already.
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you?
I know this sounds insane, but I'm Adam Gibson.
Please answer yes.
What? But we don't have enough time for you to be shocked right now, because they got Natalie and Clara, and I need your help to get my family back.
They are my family.
It's for sleeping with my wife.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're in for. And by the way, it's not hard to do.
Yeah. I think what was bumping me a little bit was the Total Recall of it. Which is like, who, like, am I really this guy or am I really this other guy? And that's a little bit the same thing that's going on here. Am I the clone
get
or am I the original?
To repet.
Yeah, exactly. Get yourself, exactly. Repet is recall, you know? Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed it, but I would fast forward.
By the way, these movies are packaged as, like a lot of the deep, there are a lot of comments on Amazon where like, I don't know why you're packaging them together. They're two totally different movies. Total
Wait,
Recall.
What's the other movie?
Total Recall.
Oh, that's funny.
But they are very similar. This is kind
I
of
I just
like,
watched Total Recall recently. It's incredible.
Oh,
it's Paul Verhoeven. It's incredible.
Guato. Jason, June, anything that you have, that you would like to talk about, share, let people know.
I would say just check out The Deep Dive, which is another podcast that I'm hosting with How Did This Get Made special guest Jessica St. Clair.
So great, so delightful, and you have so many awesome, awesome people on the show. I love listening to it.
And I'll just throw out, you know, there are clones in Invincible, the Mahler twins. And they also do a pretty impressive job of being able to clone people on a molecular level, including consciousness. So, and they're always fighting about which one is the real clone and which one's the clone and which one's the original. I play Rexplode, America, the Motion Picture is on Netflix right now. Animated
really
movie that I'm a voice in.
I want to recommend, Black Monday, which, June is in as well, but also has a clone element to it, which is the Lehman Brothers. Kim Marino plays two characters in this.
Cool.
So I have an ability to, I've worked with actors who, you know, can do that. And Ken, you know, has a stand-in that will do his other parts, and it's lovely to watch them work off each other. And yeah,
that's
really, really fun. All right, so Black Monday on Showtime Sunday nights. You can follow me also on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/friendzone for a bunch of shows all the time. Thank you so much for listening. A big thank you to our super producer, Cody, our engineer, Devin, our movie producer, Avril Halley, of course, Nate Kiley with all of our amazing research, and not at the bottom of the list, but purely at the top, July Diaz, who listens through, make sure everything is tip-top shape. A big thank you to all the people who do all the amazing artwork, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson and Kyle Waldron. You can check out our merch store at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. We have new shirts up there right now. So again, we have a Where Does the Butt Start shirt, because people requested it after a Mannequin 2 episode. And if you are interested, we are doing a Fast 9 episode. We are figuring out when we're going to do it. We have to work a couple different things, but we'll get that coming to you.
I'll just say this. I've just finished rewatching 1 through 8, and I am ready to go.
Oh, cannot wait. Jin and I got to interview the cast, or some of the cast of Fast 9, and we got some inside scoop. So Fast 10, going to be a musical, according to Vin. All right.
I love it.
We will see you next week. And if there's anything that we missed out or forgot, you can give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And I'll talk about it on the mini episode. You can also call me about your life, and I'll give you advice. And so far, we've been doing pretty good with that. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Give us a call in the mini episode, 619-PAUL-ASK. Bye for now.